listening to the Living Truth Church podcast. We pray you encounter God through this message. To find out more about our family, visit us online at livingtruth.church.
We're starting a new series today on the emerging church. And today's session, I'm going to do on the traditional church. And what I'm going to do today as the traditional church will be the way I've seen it, the way I've experienced, and where I come from. And I think possibly Pastor Blake will be doing the traditional church also next week, but he comes from a completely different background than I do, so that's going to be a different look on the traditional church. The church, as I have known it, has not always been perfect, and definitely hasn't done everything right. The statements that I will make today, I do want to clarify and make sure you understand, will not be made with any intent to degrade or ridicule what has been done in the past. If it were not for my past church history, I wouldn't be here today. So I won't belittle the church of the past, but I do want to make some important observations of the church of the past, the traditional church. Is that all right? And my observations is going to bring in the good and the bad. Shortly after I got here this morning, this song that we just sung, we did in the 80s in church. So that song's been around for a long time, and it still was effective today. I feel like shouting hallelujah, and it's because not of my past, but because of who he is and when I think about him. There's another song that says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. So there's a lot of the things of the past that are not bad, and they actually brought us to where we are, and they can even be some of the things that we did back then we do today. But the things, and what's different about, I think, the church that is emerging in this world the way God wants it to, I think the difference is we can take the things of our past that were good and bring them to our present. And also, if they continue to be the right thing and the good thing according to what God has to say about it, we can take them into our future. But I do believe there are some things from our past we need to do away with. Are y'all all right with that? It's a good thing. Several years ago, I made a decision to be open to whatever change was necessary, even if it meant going against church tradition, to be able to help lead the church into what God wanted us to be. And I might add, some of those changes were made by trial and error, some good, some bad, and we're still not perfect. But in my estimation, we're definitely closer to what God desires the church to be today than we were yesterday. And if we will continue to be open to what God is asking us to do as the body of Christ, I believe it's just going to get better. And we sing a song, and if I tried to tell you what it was exactly, I'd mess it all up. But let me give you a little idea. I think it was actually playing, he gets better and better. You know what? He doesn't get better. The way I see him and respond to him gets better. Because God never changes. He was good 1,000 years ago, and he's good today. And the same good he was then, he's still good today. So God never changes, but through the years, men have taken on the tradition of things that causes church to change. And if church is not changing and what we do here is not changing for the better and for more toward what God wants us to do as a, or be as a church, then we're headed in the wrong direction. So I think it's very important that we listen closely to what God has to say. And to do that, it's not just listening to me tell you what to do. Somewhere you're going to have to come into your own identity of who you are personally with Jesus. Because I can stand up here all day and tell you what it's supposed to be like and where it's been and where it's going and all that. If you don't engage in what in the movement God is making in the world today and your relationship with Him on a personal basis, the church can't move forward as God wants it to. So, I've made this statement on more than one occasion. You've probably, if you've been here very long at all, you've heard me say it. I'm against religion. I don't like religion. I'm against it. But I am for an experience and a relationship with God. I am for being the body of Christ, not just going to church and following a few rules and regulations. If I can dig in and step in and lean in, however you want to put it, to a relationship with Jesus Christ, my life is going to be better and the church is going to operate in the manner that it's supposed to operate in if we all do that. You can do that on your own, or I can do that on my own, or whatever. But if we don't unify in the direction God wants us to be, do as the body of Christ, then we will not attain what He has in store for us as the church. I still stand on the fact that religion is traditional, but we also have to be careful with that thought, because in my church background, we were at times all about the moment of experience. So I can have an experience with God, but if I have that momentarily on a Sunday, and then I fight my way through the rest of the week just hoping I can get back for another experience on Sunday, there's something wrong. And if we're going in that kind of direction as a church, it's traditional. I think that's what many churches. Let me say this. From my church experience, my church tradition and background, that happened on many occasions, and it was all about the church service. We had some amazing church services. People were delivered. People were set free. People were healed. Sorry about this, Brandon, but this last song we sung, where it said, "He healed me." Did y'all notice it was this heal that He healed me with, H-E-E-L-E-D? There have been times that He's had to do that to me. He's had to take His foot to me a time or two. And I'm being very light on the time or two thing. Many times. He's had to just lift His foot and say, okay, and kick me back into position. But also, H-E-A-L-E-D, He's healed me. And many of you have heard me tell this story, but he healed a broken bone in my body at one time. And it's amazing what God is able to do. But beyond all that is when He healed my heart of the sin that had diseased it, the stuff I had done in life that had messed it all up, the hurt that I had gone through, the brokenness of my heart. He mended all of that, and He put it back together. So I have seen and I have experienced some major things in church. But my most major thing that ever happened is when I made a decision that no matter what the church does or what tradition says, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do my best to keep on track with what His Word is saying that I'm supposed to do as an individual member of the body of Christ. And I do believe in the church that we're living in today, we are going to have to get to this place. And I believe this is happening in this place today, that we are going to have to make a decision who we're going to follow, who we're identified with, and what we're going to do in our future as far as what God is saying for us on an individual basis. It can't just be on a broad basis of what the church is doing. I could come in here every Sunday and enjoy the worship that goes on because it's good. They're talented. They're gifted. It's really good. And I feel something when they worship. But it has to go beyond what they do. It has to be something that happens on the inside of me. You know, tradition might tell you, as long as I do this, that will happen. Or as long as they do this, everything will be okay. But I'm telling you today, if I don't enter into what God's doing in this place and in my life, then what God has for us in the future is not going to be as great as what it can be. Not in every case, but many of the people that I went to church with in my past were supercharged in one of those services, but would almost die spiritually before they could get back to the next one to have the experience of church. So here again, let me say, that's a religious thing that's taking place. And it's not about the hype of the moment. It's not about how great we can make that service be. It's about what happens when we walk out the doors of this building and how we're able to live our lives. I had an old preacher say one time on more than one occasion, he said, it doesn't matter how high you jump, but it's how you walk when you hit the ground. It's about walking this thing out. It's about living a life that's pleasing to Him and responding to the moments of every day according to what He wants for me. Some of those committed church-going people, some of them didn't know anything about the Bible beyond what came from a preacher across a pulpit. It's our intention as the leadership of this church to lead you to a place of relationship beyond that momentary experience in a service and that momentary hearing of God's word. I would like for all of us to be able to get up on Monday morning and hear God speak, to be able to dig into His word on our own and get revelation of what God's doing. We want to be able to equip you here to walk out of here and do the work. This is not a place that we have designed to come in just to give you a feel-good feeling one day a week. This is a place we want to be where the power of God comes in for sure, where people are healed and delivered and set free, but also equipped with the tools necessary to walk out of here and face what this world has to give. We need to have that. I had a mentor. He lived in Houston, Texas. He was quite a bit older than me, I would say by most likely 20 to 30 years. And I tried to be around him as much as possible starting when I was in my, I believe I was in my early 30s. He called a meeting one time of a few, just a small group of young ministers, and we sat around a table on which he had his Bible laying. He was on the Texas State Board of the denomination of which he was a part. He picked up another book that day and he laid it down on the table beside his Bible, pointing out that he had helped write that particular book that he had laid there beside his Bible. That book was a book of rules and regulations according to the denomination that he was involved in. And this is what everybody in that denomination was to live by. He pointed and he wanted us to notice that the book that he had helped write was quite a bit thicker than the Bible that lay there on that table. He mentioned that this book contained those rules and regulations, protocol for what the church leadership and membership was to follow and adhere to. He went on to say, after much prayer and consideration, he had decided to set aside the book that he had helped write and stick exclusively to the Bible. Because even though there were some good things in the thicker book, it had begun to overshadow the Bible and had become a catalyst for legalism. If I can be straightforward with you today, the Bible already has more rules and regulations in it than most of us adhere to. So why would we ever need another book to get us lined out? If we will adhere to the Bible, the one and only true Word of God, if we will adhere to that, we will accomplish what the church was left on this earth to accomplish. I'm just saying. I knew another man. Some of you, maybe one or two of you might have remember him if I called his name. His name was Charlie Mahaney. Charlie Mahaney was an evangelist. And his mind had been burnt out with drugs. He had spent a bit of time in prison, and God had saved him, and he had restored his mind. He used a lot of Hebrew and Greek words. We didn't know what they were, so we didn't know if he was really telling the right words or not, but he used a lot of them when he was preaching, and he was a very bold guy, and he just sort of tell it like it was. But he made a statement that I'll never forget. He was a really big guy, and this is the statement I'm about to give you is not what I was thinking of, but let me throw this one in there just for funny. I was standing beside him on the platform one time, and he leaned over to me, and he said, "Hey, I'm about to outgrow this jacket. Would you like to have it?" And he wore like a 50-something, and I was in the, you know, it was way bigger than what I would wear anyway. And I said, "No, I think I'm good, but thanks for asking." But he made a statement one time, and he said, "You know, this Bible will shed a whole lot of light on some of those commentaries. I really believe that we have to stick with the Word of God." And I know there are men today that are anointed to be able to tell you what the Word means in certain areas where we don't quite understand it. But we need to understand that we need His direct Word in our lives. And let me repeat, I was convicted of my sin in one of those historical traditional churches. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at one of those altars. I was healed on more than one occasion in some of those, standing behind some of those pews. It wasn't all bad. It wasn't all wrong. But a refusal to let God be the head of it all and not let His Word be sufficient, or not being willing to make changes of things that might have been in place for 40 years so that we could reach people better, or so we could just live it out better, so that some guy that knows nothing can become something. And that's where I think that the traditional church has failed. Somebody might walk in the door, and if they don't look like us or dress like us or talk like us, then they're not for us. But I want it known today that as far as for this church, as long as I have anything to do with any area of leadership here, I want you to know that when people walk through the door, they're going to be loved, they're going to be loved on, they're going to be taught, they're going to be mentored, they're going to be prayed for, because Jesus died for everybody. No matter what you look like, smell like, no matter what your financial bank account looks like, no matter what you drive or the house you live in, I'm telling you, He died for every one of us. And if I can't give in to that, then I need to quit doing what I'm doing, because the church was designed to be a healing force in our world. And when I say a church, I'm not talking about a building being a healing force. I'm talking about the body of Christ being a healing, saving force that goes out into this world and touches people's lives. And some of the major things that are going on right now are not necessarily going on in churches. They're going on in houses and on the street corner and in business places. Stuff is going on all around our world with people who want to open up to what God says we're supposed to be as the church. I lived in a world where if you weren't the preacher or the singer, you know, you're the only one that did anything. Well, I don't want to do that anymore. I did the preaching and the singing, the praying. Somebody could call you at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, pray for me. You know, we have downplayed the membership, the bodily parts of this body so much to the point that we think that it's only the preacher that can do it. But I've come to make you aware, and I'm talking to the choir right now, but I want you aware that you have the same authority that I have to touch somebody, lay hands on them, and see them delivered from any situation of life. You have the authority to come under the anointing of His Spirit and tell them what the Word says. You have the ability to take your past and use it for their future. Yeah, we all have that authority. You were given that the moment you were filled with His Spirit. But you can't take that lightly. I can't just live in rules and regulations that say I can do this and I can't do that. There are some of those things that were good. There were lines that were drawn in the sand that we shouldn't go across, and that was probably some good things. But I'm telling you, if I get in God's Word and get in relationship with Him, I won't want to do those things that I shouldn't be doing. I will have a desire to serve Him and live for Him and do what He wants me to do. I won't be wanting to err off the way through the week. I want to be getting up every morning and singing, hallelujah, You're faithful, God. You're good to me. I love You, Lord. I want to go to bed at night with the thought of Him on my mind. And you can live that kind of life. I know several people, and I don't understand me today. I'm not trying to be negative, but I know several people from my past that could come in here and judge us in comparison to the past traditional church. Maybe because Pastor Blake's in Dallas today, so I can talk about him. You can't tell him. You're probably recording this, aren't you? Okay. Think this out. Somebody might judge us because Pastor Blake has only worn a suit 5 times in 5 years, you know? You could be judged for anything that has nothing to do with the Spirit within. I think there ought to be a standard that every one of us live. I think there's places we shouldn't go and things we shouldn't do. But all that comes from a heart that's either connected or disconnected from Jesus. And if my heart's connected to His heart, I won't want to go to the wrong places. I won't want to do the wrong things. I want to serve Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, everything about me, I want to give to Him. He told us through His Word to give yourself a living sacrifice. And what does it say? Holy. Holy. Well, some of us get sort of hung up on holy sometimes. How can I be holy? He said, I want you to be holy as I'm holy. Well, that's a big pair of shoes to fill, but I have done some study on that because I think holiness got all messed up at one time. Holiness got to be something that you put on or took off. Holiness is not something you put on or put off. It's something that comes. The word holiness is built into the word Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of me, I get holiness with it. So the holiness within me is what comes out and shines on the outside. It's not what I put on that makes me holy. It's not what I take off that makes me holy. It's who I put inside of me, in my heart, makes me holy. So I'm to live that way, holy, acceptable to him, which is the reasonable thing that he's asking for. Oh, Mark, the 7th chapter. Help me out here. I think this is good. One day, those known as the Pharisees and certain religious scholars came from Jerusalem and gathered around Jesus. Let me say this. If you're gathered around Jesus, if he's like in your midst, you might ought to watch what you say, because he will straighten you out. They were shocked to find some of Jesus' disciples ate bread without first observing the prescribed Jewish, and say that next word with me, ritual of hand washing before eating their meal. For the Pharisees, like all other Jews, will not eat without first performing pouring water over their cupped hands to keep the elders. Similarly, when returning from the marketplace, they were washed. They washed themselves before eating. They also observed many other, such as washing cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and religious scholars asked Jesus, watch out now, why don't your disciples live according to the age-old passed down by our elders? They should first wash their hands before eating. Jesus replied, watch what you say. Jesus, what about all those traditions, those lifelong things that I was told I had to do? You are frauds and hypocrites. How accurately did Isaiah prophesy about you phonies when he said, these people honor me with their words while their hearts run far away from me. Their worship is nothing more than a charade, for they continue to insist that their man-made are equal to the instructions of God. My mentor, who's been gone for several years now, said, I chose to lay aside all of these man-made traditions and grab hold of what God has for me and walk in that. Who wants to go with me? All the guys around that table raised their hand, and it was a pivotal moment in my life when I had to choose to live by tradition or by the Word of God. And I'm still convinced today that the Word of God has taken me in closer relationship with God than all the legalism that I ever was a part of. And please, don't misquote me, because if it wasn't for where I came from, I couldn't be here. So I'm here today because of a lot of the things that I went through. And this is one thing that I've hung on to. I hang on to the fact that if it don't work, let's don't do it. And if it works, let's hang on to it. And there's stuff that worked back then that I'm going to hang on to. I'm not going to change the Word of God and say that's not for us today. I'm telling you, anybody that's teaching today that God's miracles have ceased, they've gotten onto a tradition that's way offline from what God has designed for the church. What God has designed for the Latter-day church is more than what he had for the church of the past. He said in the last day, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And I'm telling you, there's going to be miracles, there's going to be signs, and there's going to be wonders going on in this church, and it's going to be happening through our
body that's here locally, and it's going to be going out of here and happening in an amazing way, which it's already been doing. I have seen miracles outside of this church. I've seen miracles inside this church, but I'm going to see greater miracles in my future because we are the church. We are the living church of God. We're alive. We're not dead. We're not going to act dead. We're not going to feel like that anything God said can be, can't be. Are y'all with me? Anybody want to see something greater in your future than you've seen in your past? I'm not telling you to drop everything you know, but I'm telling you to drop anything that you think's not in the Word of God and let it just go by the way. And let the Word of God lead you. Let His Spirit direct you. Let the power of God be in you and be the church. I don't want to do church anymore. I don't want to have religion rising up in the midst of us. I want to have what God has asked me to have so that I can be what He's asked me to be. So don't rule anything out. And don't get crazy if something sort of odd you've never seen before happens, because there are going to be some stuff that God's going to do that's new. And I realize that it's out there. There's nothing new under the sun. That's true. But there is something new to a lot of people that they've never seen, they've never heard, they've never felt. And I'm planning on being a part of seeing that happen in these last days that we're living in. Anybody else want to do that? Stand with me. I've come to tell somebody in this building today that the God of the emerging church is a God that looks at the heart and combines it with desire and faith and passion, and He watches with approval as His church emerges as a beaming light in a dark world. I have been, this happened when I pastored in Sheridan. Somebody came to church one Sunday. I'd never seen them before. And I said, "What brought you here?" And he said, "I drove by here last Sunday, and I visibly saw a flame on top of your building. And I thought, if there's a flame like that going on, what's going on inside?" You know, that to me was a great thing. But most people won't come and check that out. So, it was on the day of Pentecost that the Spirit of God came, and there sat upon each of them a flame. So this is not something that God designed to be a flaming thing on top of a church building. His design was for the fire to burn in you, so that somebody will not have to come into a building and say, "What was that I saw flaming on top of your building?" They will come to you and they'll say something like, "There's something different about you. I feel something like a fire coming out of you. And it's out there that we take the flame." We get our matches. We get our fuel. We get everything it takes to light the flame in here. But we don't keep it in here. That's one of the issues that I've had with the traditional church, was that we wanted to monopolize everything and say, "We've got it. Nobody else has it. Yay for us." I'm telling you, we've got it. Everybody else needs it. Yay for us. We'll take it to them. So that's the desire of this church. We're not going to be traditional. So if you want traditional, you're probably in the wrong place. But if you'll hang around long enough, you'll realize that traditional is not what it needs to be. We're supposed to, and let me say this just to qualify, we're not perfect. We hadn't got it all together. We hadn't got it all right. But we have dropped a few things that didn't work, added some that do, and we're going to keep doing that until we get it right. So hang in there with us till we get it all right. And we're going to touch our world. We're going to set our world on fire. And we're going to see revival in these last days in this area, this state, this region, and around the world. And we're going to get to be a part of it. Are you excited about that?